Psalm 148. Let me read this psalm, and then we'll move through it and look at some things in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heaven, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, as we spend some time in your word this morning, we pray that you would just speak to us, encourage our hearts. We thank you for the gift that your word is and for the gift that surrounds us today, your creation. We make much of you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's begin just with the first line of this psalm, Psalm 148. And I've titled this section in your sermon notes, Commanding Praise. Commanding praise. And when you think about it, really this psalm serves as a summons to praise from all levels of creation. It's a summons to praise the Lord. But as we read it here today, it not only comes as a summons for us to praise, but it comes as a command. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallel, praise, the Yahweh. Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is the most often repeated command in the Bible. And when you think about it, it's an interesting thing that the Lord would give us his word and command us to praise him. There's not a lot of experiences that we have, at least on this level, that would go down that road. It would seem out of place. We read the verse, many of us know the verse, delight yourself in the Lord. That's also a command. God is commanding our joy in him. I want you to be delighted in me. So engage your heart. Engage your heart. Praise the Lord, Psalm 147:1 says, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. It's right to praise God. He is the one to whom all praise is due. And so we praise him because he commands it, because it's fitting and right, and it's the best gift that God can give us. When we praise God, we are most satisfied because that's what we've been created to do, is to praise him. Let's look at this now as he goes into detail. I titled this next section, Celestial Praise. Verse 1a. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all angels. Praise him, all hosts. It's an interesting thing that the psalmist is summoning praise from those who have never done anything but praise. Think about that. From the moment these angels were created, they have never ceased to praise God. The angels, as individuals, all his angels, and as the hosts, all together. So individual angel praise and corporate angel praise. Alone and in multitude, they praise God. And think about that. From the moment he made them, they have not ceased to do this. What this serves is as an example of perfect and endless praise. They will forever continue to praise. Forever. And really what it can be for us is a cue. Take your cue from the angels who never cease to praise. In everything, all day long, They give praise to God, endless praise, all day. Now he goes on, I call this next section cosmic praise, verses 3 to 6. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, highest heaven and waters above the heavens. Let's consider this. The psalmist is calling on inanimate objects to praise the Lord. How does that work? How does the sun praise the Lord? How is it that the moon would give him praise and the stars as they shine in the heavens? Well, we read elsewhere, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Now, how often is it that you have a day in Whatcom County where you can barely spot a cloud? I think there's one over here. Praise God, you blue sky. Praise him. Hallelujah, blue sky and sun. Day to day pours out speech. Do you hear it? Just listen. The heavens are shouting praise of God. The sun in its course that was ordained by God as we rotate and it traces across the sky, doing exactly as he established it to do. It's obeying the Lord, and in doing so, it's praising him. We feel its heat just as God has ordained. Night after night reveals knowledge. Their voice goes out in the all the earth. Their words are heard to the end of the world. We ask the question, why do they do this? Why does the creation that God has made in the cosmic heavens praise the Lord? Well, he answers it. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. With a word, they became. They came into being with the command, and he established them to be. Let there be, and there was. Quick reminder on, just as you consider the stars last night, in the Milky Way, between 200 and 400 billion stars in our galaxy, between 200 and 400 billion stars in our own little galaxy, there's around, estimated, 100 billion galaxies. I can't do that math, because my notes page doesn't carry that many zeros. He made the stars, every single one, to praise him. And every single one, from the moment he made it, declares his praise, just as he created them to do. The stars, the sun, the moon, the sky. In Romans chapter 11, Paul says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. They're from him, and they're through him, and they are to him. In what sense are they to him? They exist for him. They give praise to him. Every moment they exist, they do what they were made to do. It's interesting. Humanity disobeys, but the sun never disobeys. The moon never disobeys. The stars never disobey. The angels, well, some of them disobeyed. They had one chance. But all of the angels that remain in heaven, they never disobey. Take our cue from creation. For by him, in Colossians 1, Paul says, by him all things in heaven and on earth and visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. For him. Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So when you see creation, when you see sun and moon and the heavens above, think about the fact that the very substance of what holds them together is Jesus Christ. He is the glue of this creation that God has made. Let's go on to the next section, 7 through 10. I titled this Creature and Climate Praise. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. It's fun to have kids because you spot things that normally you wouldn't. Gracie especially loves to find little things, little rocks. She's our little rock hound, and she likes to collect bugs. Her favorite thing lately is trapping flies against our house in this little container and then bringing them in. And sometimes they live and sometimes they don't. Right, Grace? Yeah. But she will bring these little things and you'll look at them. They're amazing. The tiniest little bug declares his praise. To the greatest sea creature. And here it's a reference to the Leviathan of old. The monster of the deep declares the praise of God. He made that. He made that. Creature and climate praise. We can even understand the most fierce hurricane, the strongest tornado, as a declaration of the power of God on display. Thunderstorms, rain and wind, hail and lightning. We live in a world that is drenched in God's glory. It's interesting, great and small, they're speaking, but many times we're too busy to listen. It's one of the benefits of taking some time and just going outside. The psalmist clearly has spent a lot of time outside meditating, just listening to the praise of God as it declares their creator. We heard this morning all kinds of birds. I was up early multiple times this morning. Camping sometimes does that to you. But there's different awakenings of creation. First the rooster about 5:30. And then the birds begin to chirp. And there was birds all through the trees, just chirping up a storm, talking like crazy. And then you watch, look at this little butterfly coming through. Who brought the butterfly across just right there? God ordains his praise. And then the flowers and the trees, the breeze. These things declare the praise of God. I think sometimes we're too busy to stop and listen. Sometimes we just need to get outside, whether it's at night, just lay in the grass and ponder who made these stars, who holds these together. It's God's work. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. You can see how the psalmist speaks of these things. The rivers are clapping their hands in praise of God. And the hills sing together for joy. You don't think this way if you don't spend time outdoors, thinking of the glory of God and then looking over the hills and saying, they are singing the praise of God. Let the mountains and the hills before you break forth into singing, and all the trees shall clap their hands. They clap their hands. The glory of God. It doesn't stop there. He goes on to civilization praises. Verse 11. Kings of all the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. You think about humanity. It's important that we receive a command like this. We've been created by God to glorify him, but many times we fail to. And creation itself testifies how important it is. So many times people fall in love with studying creation, but they lose sight that the fact that creation exists to point out the Creator. And they begin to worship the creation and lose the fact that the Creator made it to point to him. That's why we exist. Kings and commoners, princes and judges, young and old. Look at the word together. Young men and maidens together, old men and children. One of the joys of Good Shepherd Community Church is that we desire to praise God together. We want to be a family. We want to be a church family. We want to build a church that worships the Lord together, young and old, side by side. What a joy it is to see God doing that. Why should we praise the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord, why should we do this? Well, verse 13, for his name alone is exalted, his majesty is above earth and heaven. There is no king who has glory that even holds a candle to the glory of God. There is no ruler, no judge, no man in power, no small little child who can even hold a flame to the majesty and dominion of God. He is awesome in power. Now look at the last verse, verse 14. He tags this on. The psalmist puts this at the very end. It's an interesting thing. It's almost like a completely different thought, but it's actually not. It says, he has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near him. And then the final command, halal uchya, praise the Lord. What is the horn? The word here describes like a wild ox. This would be a wild ox horn. Very stout and strong, thick, something that is not going to break. It won't shatter. And it's not just a defensive weapon. This is also an offensive weapon. A weapon that would protect and attack if need be. The horn of salvation. Now, a lot of places where you see this, it's a reference to the power of God on display. His strength raised up. He raised up a horn, a symbol, a display of his power and strength. And in the context, we understand that the psalmist is speaking here of, look around and see the power of God on display. It's like a horn of strength. And then also, knowing the larger context of where this heads, we know that Jesus is the horn, the one who has been raised up with great power, power to save. The final call is to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As we think about what we have in this psalm, I just want to encourage us today. There's so many ways to apply this. If you don't regularly ponder the glory of God on display, slow down. We run so fast. Americans are on the move. We're getting from here to there. And all of a sudden, we can miss the journey, the joy of the journey. It's easy to run around and not even stop and stare at these flowers. Look at what God makes. He brings these from dirt with glory. Every flower on the highest hill that no man will ever see blooms for the glory of God. Everyone. He didn't put them there for us. He put them there for him. Those are God's flowers on display. Response this morning. I was in Isaiah, and the question just came, who is like our God? Who is like our God? Is there anything that we can think of that even compares? Anything grand and on display that we see, he made. The sun in all its power, the thunderstorm, the mighty wind, fulfilling his word. It all points to him. This is what Isaiah wrote. Thus says the King of Israel and his Redeemer, capital R, I love that reference. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, the Father, and his Redeemer, the Son, Jesus, and the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And then he asks the question, who is like me? Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. If you can find one, if you can find anyone like me, let him proclaim it. And let him declare it and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let that one that you think would be like me declare what is to come and what will happen. Who does that but God? Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declare it? I told you how I would write this story. I told you. You are my witnesses, he says. And then he closes with this question. Is there a God besides me? And he answers it. There is no rock. I know not any. If God knows no other God, we certainly won't either. And so it's right for him to command praise because he deserves it. It's fitting for him. So next time you're outside, slow down, stop, listen. As we mingle today and enjoy the outdoors, just take a moment and just listen and breathe and soak this in. This is a world drenched in glory. And we have the opportunity to join with the angels and all of creation and do what we were made to do. Give him praise and glory. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we give you praise and glory today. We thank you for the great God that you are. You have made a world that is so unbelievably massive and intricate and complex. It speaks of who you are. It testifies to your goodness. It shows us how amazing you are. Lord, forgive us for running around and missing opportunities to point you out, to really soak up and just be satisfied with who you are and what you do. We thank you for the joy of gathering today outside and just having this be the context, the living, breathing illustration of your greatness and your glory on display. Father, make us a reflective people. Make us a people who love to just sit and muse upon your greatness and delight in your glory. Help us to be a people that obey joyfully the command. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.